As we open our evening service, you may want to have, we'll pray, God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts. Your day, your time, God, you already are there tomorrow. And so therefore, here we are to have the advantage and the help to be able to enter tomorrow with a measure of success and to honor you. So deal with our heads and our hearts, and we'll thank you, Spirit of God, just for being you and honoring our Lord. In Christ's name, amen. You may want to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. Now, we mentioned this morning, God has a wonderful, wonderful plan, and there's a war. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to enter into a conflict that you never had, because the one inside of you is Christ Jesus, and the world hates him. Darkness hates him. Evil hates him. So when you received the Lord as your Savior, you entered into the war, like it or not. Now, and God has a wonderful plan for your life, and we try to at least make a note of it, underline it, that God, when you get saved, God doesn't talk about you getting saved to go to heaven. God doesn't do that, really. What he talks about is going from death to life instantly. So when you get saved, an awesome, transition takes place to give you a brand new life in a moment of time, instantly. Now, when you are born physically and you all are candidates to or recipients of that, when you were born physically, when you came out of the womb, among all of the things that happened, your system, heart system, breathing system, made an awesome transition. And mother didn't do it, and no one did it. God built it into your physical makeup. And you have a transition from mother's breath and heartbeat. And in a moment, a miracle happens. It's a miracle. There's no way to explain it. God goes and gives you, changes your whole system from mother, to you. He changes your breathing, your blood, everything. Switches instantly with no warning. And in other words, you don't plan it. You don't say, you got to do this. It just happens. And you become a living soul, a human being on planet Earth. And you are now sitting here enjoying the benefit of that event. True? When you get saved, God does the same thing. Now watch. This will, simple as can be, get it. God help us. You don't want to lose out on what happened when, if you receive the Lord as your Savior. I don't want to jump ahead. John 1:12. You know, in the Gospel of John, we won't look at 20, we have to move right along. Verse 12. I'll read verse 11 even. The Jews, what? The Jewish people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, right, privilege, to become authority, to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So when you were born of mom and dad, mother, you received an awesome physical life. You were born a child, a human child. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you become a spiritual child in the same, more awesome, more beyond. All we can do, it happens. That's how you got into this world, and so did I. Now, and you'll please note in verse 12, it doesn't say except when you accept Christ. It doesn't use that word. Why not? Well, you could go to have your meal somehow today, and the food is there, and you could accept the food. You could accept it's on your plate. And depending on how you translate and understand acceptance, then you may or may not eat it. So acceptance doesn't tell me a lot. You accepted something. You accepted the food. When you receive the food and the plate's empty, that I know where the food is. Because the plate's empty and you received it. Same as you drink water. You received it. God uses received, believe, not accept. Accept may or may not work. People said, I accepted Christ. Well, that doesn't mean you're saved. You can say, I accepted Christ, but that doesn't make you saved. You got to receive him. And that's what God tells you. And when you receive him as your Savior, verse 16, and of the fullness of Christ have you received grace upon grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, is full of the grace of God. The grace of God is what saves us, not our works or anything else. God does a wonderful thing in saving us. And so therefore, we go from what? We go, well, you're still in here in John, it's easy and quick. Over to John chapter 5, easy, among other things. And John in chapter 5, picking up, in verse 24. Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, which is what we're doing, and believeth on him, active verb, believing, receiving, that sent, he that believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, immediately, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, immediately, and is passed from death unto life, immediately. So when you were born physically, you had no idea of it, and it took you a few months to discover it, but that's what you got instantly. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, that's what happens instantly. And then we forget that, and we think everything's the same as it was. No, you're not. It isn't the same. So too many Christians that are real believers never enjoy what God has given, because we get caught up in coming and going and work and home and family and everything. And we get caught up in that. We get caught up in our physical life and the spiritual life that enables us to succeed in this physical life, especially in these days, is missed. Therefore, we got to go and look to God to help us. Now, having done that, we will try to do that for you. Now, you can't see that too well, but on the bottom, all of you imagine what you can't see. If you can't see it, imagine it. Okay, just make believe it's there even though you can't see it. Can you see the bottom? Okay, now, that's the person of the God in Christ Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ. God, you did something in Christ Jesus, born of Bethlehem of Judea. What did you do that was necessary to even allow us to be created? And the Lord God had a wonderful plan, and that involved his death, burial, and resurrection. And God did that in a most wonderful way. So when we talk about God and Christ, what do we think about God? Well, we don't think of him as someone out in the middle of nowhere. No. The way we to understand God from square one, Genesis 1:1, Genesis 3:15, God had a wonderful plan, and it involved his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, having said that, and we'll put it that way so you see it. in our terms. God, what did you do? You went and died on the cross. What do we call that? The gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, if any other man, Galatians 1, any other gospel, forget it. The gospel is what? Christ died according to the scriptures, was buried according to the scriptures, and rose again according to the scriptures. Galatians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So Christ has made something possible. He made it in eternity past. We just looked at that. That's what Christ as God is going to do. And here it happened in Jerusalem when Christ was born and when Christ went to the cross. Now, so having said that, John 1:12. What are we going to do? Christ is there, and as many as received him. The door of your heart, there is no door, you know. There's no knob out here to open. And the only way you can get in is if the person lets him in, by a choice of will. Remember the old, anyway, you don't need that time-wise. God. So we need to open the door and receive him. And if the heart won't receive him, then it stays in the same condition it always is until it gets saved. It has to be born again. God has to have a spiritual birth, and it has to have that. Now, if it doesn't receive Christ, the person doesn't receive Christ, then nothing's going to happen. They're the same from start to finish. Now, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you open the door. That's what it says. Many has received me as the Lord, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. That's it. God, the door is in the inside, free choice, and I open the door, and Christ comes into my heart. That happens the moment you believe, the moment you receive him as your Savior. Now, that has to happen to receive him. So therefore, that becomes a wonderful, wonderful thing that happens to you. All of that's at once. And you don't even know about it. The average person that comes to know the Lord as a Savior is for sure not understanding these things. No more than you understand your physical birth until you get this old. Now, so in the light of that, Christ, the person, you won't see all of that, but at least a little of it, in the process, I'm going to receive. What do I know? The Lord Jesus Christ was my perfect substitute. He died for me. And I understand he died, so he took me to Calvary's cross. And since he took me to Calvary's cross, that's to cover my death. The wages of sin is death. I got to die. I have to die. There's no maybe, there's no if, there's no out of it. I got to die. The wages of sin is death. The penalty must be paid. But God provides a wonderful righteousness for me when he rises again. And that's what the gospel that I receive, and I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. He died for me, and he rose again for me. That's what he did. That's what he did. I understand. Hang on. That's what he did. So the minute I got saved, God, what did God do? I believed in my heart and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I received him. That's what I did. Who did I receive? The Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me, was buried and rose again to bring me everything that he made possible. So when I receive him, John 1:12, that's what happens. You don't have a big feeling about it. Just know it isn't your IQ or your intellect or your feelings. No, it's you just did what God told you to do, and it happens. Now, having said that, in the process of God's wonderful grace in Christ. So, God, what do we do? Well, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have saving faith, and we look to God. And in the process, see that? Okay. What does God do? God saves me. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior in my heart, at the same time, I find myself in the middle of God's wonderful grace and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, 1 Corinthians 12 this time on your Bible. First Corinthians chapter 12. You know these things. You just want to lock them in. That's what happened to you. Either it happened or it didn't. That's all. It didn't happen, well, then you didn't get saved. You have to get saved. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. And for, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, as also is Christ. For reason, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and baptize us. And we read that, we shared that, I'm looking at it. So now, what does that mean? Baptism is identification. And you know, things of word used and back in those days, the Roman Titus going to go to war, or the general of the Roman army going to war, would take his big spear up in the air and hold the spear up, and all his men would look, and he would take his spear and plunge it down into a bucket of pig's blood. And then when he lifted his spear, it was all dripping of pig's blood, telling him, this is what we're going to do to the enemy. Baptize. We're baptized to identify. Now, so therefore, old illustration, but easy and needed. Now, here you are, and you're unsaved, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. Something happened the moment you did that you don't know it, but God baptized you. He placed you, otherwise you aren't saved. You aren't saved. And God placed you in these days of grace, placed you in his wonderful person. And in doing so, what did the Spirit of God do? And he went and he put you into Christ, into the water. And the whiteness is what? Been baptized. And it is no more the same. No more the same. The minute I receive Christ as my Savior, I am no longer the same. I'm going to live like I'm the same. I'm going to think like I'm the same. But you're not the same. Not the same. Not the same. That's clean water, clean tissue. So if you drink any of it, don't feel you're in great danger. Now, God, that's what you did. You baptized us. That's what it means. So it happened to you. You're sitting there. You don't feel it. You don't do anything. If that's real for you, that is, if you received really Christ and you're trusting him, that's what happened, like it or not. So either I'm going to adjust and try to live, and then you have to wonder if I'm saved. Because I'm trying to forget living like I'm trying to live, like the Israelites live back in Egypt. I don't live in Egypt. God, and you'll notice, remember Israel, God never let them go back to Egypt all the way through history. They never can go back to Egypt. They're his people, and he'll punish them, the tribulation, etc., but they can never be anyone else's. And when you get saved, no one else can have you. The devil can't, the system can't, you don't belong to it. We may try to live like it and think we do, wrong. If you're really saved, you can't. And you're going to have one miserable life. When it comes to Christianity, I don't know. I never had really much joy. I never had much. No, I never had. I go to church and everything, but the problem isn't God. It's you and me. We need to see that. Now, having said that, God does a wonderful thing then. Not only does Christ come into my heart and right here and now, but God baptized me and put me in his Son at the same moment. So where are you? As far as God goes, you're smack dab in the middle of his Son, in the middle of God. Galatians 3:3. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Wow. It's a wonderful thing. That happened the moment you got saved. Both of these are true. How many believers practice and enjoy that? I can look to God, and I look to God in my heart. So can you if you're saved. I have no problem where God is. I have to find God. I have to hunt for God. I don't have to feel God. I don't have to do anything. God is. And I have, and every believer has, that unique relationship to God in Christ Jesus and Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that happened the moment you get saved. How much you enjoy it, how much you practice it, I don't know. I don't know. That's the test, isn't it? If it doesn't work, if you never see it, are they saved? That's what I'd say. Never see it? 20 years of their life, you never see it? Come on. Something's cuckoo somewhere. Something's wrong. Therefore, all of that's true. All of this is true. I'm just trying to do it in a simple way. The light of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, God places you in his Son and in the body of Christ. That's why we're here as a body, a local body of believers. That's what we do on the Lord's Day. So I'm saved, you're saved, and there we are. Right in there. That's what happens when you get saved. Say, I'm not related. You bet your boots you are. That's why we're supposed to love one another. That's why we work together. And it doesn't matter your personality. Doesn't matter your idiosyncrasies or anything else about us. It doesn't work. That's nothing to do with it. We just shared it the other day. And war. The war is all of that's trivial stuff. And we spend our time bickering and fooling around. And the items, the big fire's coming, the fire's in the house, and we're sitting there figuring who drank the orange juice in the refrigerator. And the fire's in the house. Who cares about the orange juice? Who cares about the stupid things between us? They have to be gone. No, they're important. It's my life. That's the problem. Because we don't understand. And so God has done something wonderful, I think. God has gone and allowed the virus to happen. And we shared all that this morning to distract, to get the good people or the normal people all wrapped up in trying to figure out how to survive. And the bad people, good other people out there, they're going to use it. Communism, socialism, all of it, Marxism. They're going to use it, the gays, all of it, to use it. It's their opportunity. But us, we're so busy trying to survive. We're being carried along, and they're having a heyday out here. Because we aren't paying attention. And our country is in great trouble. So now, having said that, so that's what God does, and that's why the church. Over, if you would, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, and in chapter chapter 1. We'll do it easily. Ephesians in chapter 1, picking up, if I can, going directly to verse 22. And hath put all things, God hath put all things under his, Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head, he's the head, over all things to the church. The church, which, verse 23, is his body. The church is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. He fills the body. The body completes the head. The head needs a body. The body needs a head. And together they give a complete body, a complete wonderful testimony to God's saving grace by way of he's the head and the church is his body. So there we are, the body. And to see it, here's the head, and we're the body. It's a unique relationship. The church is awesome. I say it, but people don't believe it because we're so used to the normal church history and a thousand different churches and towns and times. But in his church, that's what it is. This is his church. That's quite different than out there. Baptist congregational, nothing wrong with it. They do all what they do, and to the measure they know Christ is a Savior, great. To the measure they don't, not so good. Looking to God. So God, you brought me. When did that happen? The minute I got saved, I was brought into the body to have all of the benefits, to have everything. I don't want my work, my marriage, my home, my physical problems. I don't want my inheritance. I don't want anything to get in the way of being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And to outwork the glorious, glorious thing that happened to me when I was born spiritually. When I was born physically, here I am. Here you are. I want to know what happened to me spiritually. That's what I want. That's the wonder of this, to have that happen in your life. Wow. So, God, in the light of all of that, and so therefore, what are we talking about? We're talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. We're talking about that. And in the light of that, believing where? Believing in your heart. We already did that. What are we talking about? We're talking about is the Christ who died, buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, received him. And when I received him, where did I receive him? Into my heart. I didn't receive him into the living room. I didn't receive him into my notebook. I received him into my life. He became my life, Christ, who is our life, in a most, most wonderful way. So God, all of that happened the moment I got saved. So, in the process, Christ died for me and rose again. So, yeah, for me, Christ has risen, and he's the righteous one, and he makes it, so speaks. And in the process, I confess to Romans 10. And you will note what you say when you get saved. Why do you say it? Why are you supposed to say it? Romans chapter 10. And remember Israel, chapter 30, Deuteronomy. This is from there. They should have paid attention. They didn't pay attention. Therefore, chapter 10 of the book of Romans, picking up, please, in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Christ was buried. crucified, buried, and rose again. And so when you receive that message, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess, that's the word here, and agree to be, I'm in agreement to confess. I am in agreement. I say the same thing God does, confess. If we confess our sin, God says it's wrong, I agree it's wrong. That's what confess means. I agree with you, God. I don't disagree. I'm not having a debate with you. I agree. God says it, I agree. Amen. That's what you do. I don't have a discussion about it. I don't want to talk about it in that sense. I just want to understand it and believe, because that's what God said. And I agree with God. So when we're in chapter 10 and in verse 9, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart. And remember, what are you going to believe in your heart? Well, I believe this and believe. No, there's one thing you understand about the Christ that you received. He's the one that's crucified, buried, and risen again. That's the gospel. But I didn't ask you to believe 5,000 things. He asked you to believe one thing. Do you understand who you received? God. Why did I receive him? Because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain for me. He died for me, and I wasn't even existent. And here I am, and God, we shared these 100 times. We've been born on planet Earth, and the reason you are sitting here, or anyone is sitting on planet Earth, is because Christ died for them before they were ever created. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. God didn't put anyone on Earth, and there's no provision for them. The reason he could make provision for everyone, for the sins of the world, etc. Now, so therefore, in verse 9, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with my heart man believeth unto righteousness, and what we just read. Christ died for me and rose again so that I could have a righteousness. I don't have any. Christ provide me a right kind of life in this wonderful person. Therefore, in thy heart, verse 9, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For reason, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's why I needed to have rightness and life. I didn't have it. Christ made it, died and made it possible. And with the righteousness and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to go, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's why I say so. What's baptism? Saying so. I know the test that you know something is explain it well to the person. Can you explain well why you're saved? And say, well, no. Then you need some help, because I can't explain it. That's a test. How well can you explain being saved? That means you don't know it. If you say you're going to do an algebra problem and you're going to do it and you don't know how to do it, you can only help me if you know how to do it. Otherwise, I'm just going to be still not knowing how to do something because you can't explain it to me enough to help me do it. I got to be able to explain why I'm saved and why I'm doing it enough. Otherwise, I'm not. That's what I need. So God, here we are. So with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you know the illustration that we use in the process. There it is. Now, are you going to risk? I want $50 for that. Shortage, $50. Now, are you going to pay me $50? Wow. What's missing? You don't know what's in it, do you? I could tell you there's gold nuggets in it. It's worth $50. But you don't know. It don't know. thou shalt confess with thy mouth. What's inside of you? When you go to work, school, what do you do? Who can see inside of you? No one can see inside of you. No one can understand you. You sit like that, like a dummy. No, you sit like that. And you sit there and don't say anything, don't move. What are you going to know about the person? Nothing. They got to move. They got to say something so you can understand a person. That's what they have to do. So here we are. What do you need? You need a label. You need a label. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth. I would have had a good deal. Cream of chicken for $50. I would have had a good deal. Do you understand? That's why you confess. And if you say, well, no, I never told anybody, I never really had to explain it. It's wonderful when you're put on the spot to explain it. You say, well, never. You say, well, that's a lot of us need that because we were sloppy in our understanding and we really can't explain it good. And if I can't explain it good, I can't live it good, can I? If I can't explain it, I can't live it. I can't practice it. And I don't, because I don't understand it. So I do the normal thing. Now, so having said that, so in the light of that, over to Acts. Acts in chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, you will please note, if you can, with me. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch. He's gone to Jerusalem at the feast. He's coming back. He's a very rich man. Of course, he's the treasurer in Ethiopia. So he's coming back in his chariot, and he was able to buy a very expensive copy of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, at least that. And he has it. And he's reading it in his chariot. And he's reading it. He's reading Isaiah 53. And as he's reading it, he reads it all about Christ going to the cross and dying, the Lamb of God, God slain from the foundation of the world. All of that's wonderful. And God, does God see him riding in the chariot? Does God know what he's reading? Yes. So God takes Philip over here and moves Philip just like that. And here's the chariot chugging along. And God sends Philip right from wherever he moves him. No problem for God when he wants to do it. And there's Philip, comes right up and by the chariot, trotting along. And Philip says, what are you reading? I'll read it. And in chapter 8, picking up, if I can, in verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. I'm going to pick up verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture he was reading, because he already knew the scripture. So he didn't need a copy of Isaiah 53. He just, the eunuch started it, and Philip finished it for him. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, which is Isaiah 53. Sliding down, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain place, water, and the eunuch said, because he'd just been to Jerusalem, where the church is on fire, they're all people getting baptized, persecution, all of those things are coming and happening in one form or another. So he said, yeah, I know what they all do. I saw them. They were believers, and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they do? They got baptized. Therefore, what are you going to say, Mr. Eunuch? The end of verse 36. See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? So he already knew. He wasn't going to be sprinkled. He wasn't going to do anything. He was going to go into water. Why was he going to go into the water? Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, not part of it, believe in thy heart, God raised him from the dead, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, And he was and he baptized him. Wow, wow, that's what he did. So what are we talking about? If you're saved, you confess with your mouth. And we're going to have baptism. And you remember, there we are. Baptism. And you're going to go and do what? Well, I'm going to go and understand. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be buried. And Christ is buried and he rises again. So, here we are. Can't see it so much. What's happened? What is baptism? I'm telling you how I got saved. How did I get saved? Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Not hard. I confess with my mouth, and I'll show you how it happened. It won't make it. It doesn't make it. It's already happened. God did it. Spirit of God did it. But I'm going to show you it. Baptism. Immersion. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you what happened to me. That's what I'm going to do. I got saved. And my life, in one moment of time, went from death to life. And God saved my person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, in the process, this is my little sheet. You won't see it back there. Believe, 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 believe. Want to know what to do? Believe. I don't understand. Believe. You want to understand? Believe. If you don't believe, it won't happen. That's all. You got to believe. What'd you do? Nothing except believe. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, Mr. Eunuch. And he said, therefore, I got saved. I got wonderfully saved. I'm going back to Ethiopia as a saved believer. Wow. Believe. So, God help us. Therefore, Acts chapter 2. I did that fast, maybe, but I hope you got a little bit to understand what happened to you when you got saved. And that's what happened to when you got saved. None of this that I just showed you, except for the baptism, it's all happened the moment you got believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful, if you really believed. And if you really believe, it's going to touch your heart. And you have to keep getting it again till it clicks. All of this clicks. Oneness, oneness, oneness. In the body, I'm in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is in me. I have to go. Acts chapter 2. Oh, this is the sermon on the day of Pentecost. Here's Peter. And now, chapter 2, going directly, if I can, to verse 41. Chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly, not sadly, gladly, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto the church, added more than about 3,000 souls. So the moment you believe, whether you're in a hillbilly, you're in a sewer, you're in a penthouse, you're in the White House, the minute you believe, you get saved. And that's what we're doing. It's true, once you get going, your life, you catch on to stuff, and you roll up your sleeves, and you start looking like a Christian, being a Christian in every way. That's what you do. But you have to get saved. And that's why we get baptized to affirm, to reaffirm. If there's any question about it, and being baptized doesn't save you. People can get baptized, and if they haven't really believed in their heart, it won't do a bit of good. And if you have never been baptized and believe in your heart, you're saved. People that don't believe and are baptized may not be saved. But baptism is a picture that you do. It's your privilege to do. I was raised in a Methodist church, you know, all of that, with all those things I told you. And I did that. As a little boy, baby, I think I went to church. And I loved church. They didn't do anything, but I loved God. I loved going to Methodist church. They didn't do anything, but I was there. Wow. And God did it. And God did wonderful things. So in the process, I got sprinkled. Somewhere I must have got sprinkled. But whatever I did, you know, I don't remember getting sprinkled. Not there, anyway. Anyway, so in the process, when I was in engineering, and all of this was zooming in my head, and we were at the North Redoubt Chapel, a good assembled body of believers, and I said, you know, God, I need to show that. I need to do that. And I got baptized then. I was older, but I knew I was saved a long time. But I got baptized. Do you know what? When I went into that tank, when I went down, it was a wonderful thing for me. I want to tell you why I'm saved. I want to tell you why I'm safely saved. I want to tell you why I'm surely safely saved, without ifs, ands, or buts. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God, who saved me.